Nouvelle Vague could be better defined.
It's Flicks and That with Steve Newell.
Hello, Steve. Are you there?
Hey, how you going?
Good.
Howdy.
You're sounding a bit more chipper this week.
Ooh. Yeah, I was having a shitter last week, hey.
What happened? Was I there?
I'm not sure how much I can divulge on the radio, but a low-key national emergency got the better of me.
Mm. Yeah. No, fair enough.
But it's interesting, I've kind of found in chats with pals and stuff over the last week that everyone seems to be on quite a different journey this time around.
Mm.
My energy's back this week, other people are kind of hit the skids a bit. How are things with you two?
Oh, my energy's good.
I'm pretty stoned, so.
Oh, sounds wonderful. I had radio to do, so I consider my options in that regard.
Same.
Now, Steve, what have you been watching?
Sorry. What have I been watching? I have been watching something that I didn't think I would. It took seeing a tweet from Tim Heidecker of Tim and Eric fame recommending this show hosted by Mark Ronson. A music documentary series called Watch the Sound. This is on Apple TV Plus. And when I first saw that this was coming out, I thought, here's another streaming service throwing a whole bunch of money at a topic that's been, you know, done so many times well before, but also there's plenty of examples of kind of stodgy and boring music docs. So I didn't hold that much hope for this. Then seeing this tweet, I thought I'd check it out, and basically smashed out three episodes in quick succession and was extremely impressed with what they've put together. Mm. Don't know how familiar you guys are with Mark Ronson, but he's got a collection of the top music silverware. He's an Amy Winehouse producer, produced Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk, made a Queens of the Stone Age record, blah, 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 blah. And so it means that as the host of the show, they've got someone that really knows what he's doing inside a studio, can speak to the creative process and the actual studio process as well. One of the things I quite like about it is both he and the show seem to kind of realize he's a little bit daggy as well. Like he's not the completely put together cool facade that he might project elsewhere, and that's quite good. But look, what really makes this crack is it kind of mixes all the best things up of my favorite things about music documentaries. You've got the let's bring up the master tapes and slide the faders up and down sort of stuff of VH1 Behind the Musics, which always gets me. You've got Ronson talking to other artists and producers and sharing a common language. So as a viewer, you feel you're kind of being let in on secrets. He brings a lot of his personal experiences to bear on the show as well, or professional personal experiences. And then also there's quite a bit of music making that happens in it, where you'll sort of see these techniques shown on screen. And when it comes to the techniques, that's how they've broken up the series. There's six episodes. The first one is about auto-tune, the second is sampling, and the third is reverb. Those are the three I've watched so far, with synthesizers, drum machines, and distortion to knock out probably tonight, I reckon. And the kind of caliber of guests we're talking, auto-tune, he spent some time with producer Ariel Rechtside, T-Pain, the king of auto-tune, Charlie XCX, maybe the queen of auto-tune. Paul McCartney shares his thoughts
Paul
there.
Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney has a few things to say in the sampling episode as well. He does a bit of tape loop operation to show what he was doing in sort of late-era Beatles times. Mm. Ronson sits down with DJ Premier.
Oh, wow.
And,
cool.
He makes a beat, and it's on an MPC. It's a thrilling sequence to see how that dude works. And it's really cool because for Ronson, like, he's a guy who's... It's a style that Ronson grew up not just emulating, but kind of outright copying.
Mm.
He learned to produce beats by listening to DJ Premier. So that's actually a really lovely sequence where,
wow,
you know, you've got this kind of superstar host, but you see him being a real kind of fan in the corner as
just
well.
Frothing. Yeah, because Ronson started out as a hip-hop DJ, didn't he?
Yes, yeah, indeed. So there's, in the Reverb episode, actually, there's this really cool sequence where, well, they explore a couple of different things about Reverb. He talks about how they were trying to find the, they were trying to find the right kind of, the right sort of tone, right sort of overall sound for Amy Winehouse's Back to Black album, and he found it by just sort of drenching everything in reverb. And then later in the episode, he goes off with, so he sort of had that practical demonstration of it, then he goes off with a guy who makes presets that emulate actual physical spaces and model the reverb of an actual physical space. And he goes into this huge underground former diesel chamber in Scotland, which is in physical form the world's largest reverb chamber.
Wow.
And Ronson's there, the guy that he's with, that sets up his testing equipment, which effectively just plays a range of frequencies from low to high across the whole human hearing range, so to model the space.
Mapping the frequency and, response of the space, yeah.
Yeah, so he's keeping that as basically the data that he can use to model it later. Says to Ronson, about halfway through, you probably want to cover your ears. He's like, I was a hip-hop DJ. I was a DJ in nightclubs for 20 years, mate. Still covers his ears. That sequence is great because they slide into this chamber in very claustrophobic little tubes and then find themselves in this massive underground space.
Mm.
It's real buzzy.
I kind of want to do that with the train station down the bottom of Auckland there. It's they've got a restaurant in there now, but if you go in there and that open foyer area is epic for reverb. Whenever I watch something down at the Tuning Fork, I always slide in there and just do some choral singing with a couple of mates.
Oh, the old railway station with the student accommodation.
Yeah, but the foyer.
Oh, that guy.
It's crazy, crazy space.
So, yeah, I mean, if any of this sort of nerdery sounds appealing, you should really check out the show. This is, it's kind of pretty stacked with interesting stuff right throughout each of the episodes. Some of the other people that have turned up in it, Angel Olsen, she's one of the vocalists who they demonstrate reverb with. She goes to the Capitol Records building, and they've got reverb chambers in the bottom of that building that were built in the 50s. Mm. And basically, it's you can hear Sinatra. You know, you can like these are the sounds of records that have sort of shaped how we think about music in quite a lot of ways. Yeah, so Watch the Sound with Mark Ronson, Apple TV Plus. I don't think enough people are probably watching Apple TV Plus that have access to it. If you've bought an iPhone or an Apple product in the last 12 months, you probably have had a subscription bundled in that you might not know you can activate. So if you're a recent customer, you can pay to subscribe, but I think first step would be if you've owned one of their products, you should be getting the thing for free that you don't know you've inadvertently paid for.
What about those of us that have never bought an iPhone but have inherited them secondhand?
Well, you're stuffed, but you could spend your own money on it.
Well, no, because the iPhone's got the internet as well. So, kind of
like... The iPhone also connects to the internet, so it's not led to believe.
Steve, have you ever in your history of watching film watched a movie called Warlock Armageddon?
Is this part of the Warlock franchise, or is this a standalone Warlock film?
I think it's probably part of the franchise, but I'm not sure where it slots in. I think it's early. I want to say that. I remember the original Warlock movie kind of scaring me, but the Warlock Armageddon is more of a fun ride of vast array of effects that aren't quite special, but they are effects. You know?
Well, of course, the film's number one special effect is the actor Julian Sands.
That's his name.
He's a classic that guy actor, right?
Man, it is a ripper. Warlock Armageddon. Forget all that actual good stuff that you were talking about.
Cost $3 million to make. Made 3.9 at the box office.
Yeah, that's a win. That's a win.
That's a lot of sweat.
That's way more money than I would have considered.
For $900,000 to divide up in lots of directions.
Wow. Steve, have you seen the new Spider-Man trailer?
I have seen the new Spider-Man trailer. That's pretty trippy, eh?
It looks pretty good, actually.
There's all this trippy stuff in it, but I think the trippiest thing in it is seeing Benedict Cumberbatch in a hoodie and track pants.
Do we need Spider-Man?
Spider-Man needs to, like, I don't know, come back and do a good film. And I feel like this might be the one.
Yeah, so have you guys seen the animated Spider-Man film Into the Multiverse?
Yes, I have. I feel like this one might have that sort of direction.
Yeah, well, I think that multiverse concept is definitely being... It's sort of been threaded through some of the Marvel things recently, and yes, this is the first kind of big screen explosion of it. But that animated one is probably still my fave of the modern superhero era. It's just such a great film, and it is a head F as well.
I almost believe cartoons more, you know, because it's like, oh yeah, rad. You know, no wires and trickery. It's a straight cartoony. Hey, somebody's just saying to check out just watched a good music documentary on Netflix, Count Me In, apparently, about drumming. So there you go. A few music things out there for people to...
Well, when I first saw that this Ronson thing was coming out, it was like, oh God, it's going to be another excuse for Dave Grohl to be in a documentary, and I'm sure he must be in the drumming one as well. But apparently Ronson... did a deal with Dave Grohl that he'd do some Foo Fighters remixing if Dave Grohl was in the show. When I read that, I was just like, you try and keep Dave Grohl out of the music documentary. Like, that's what you pay him to stay away, because, you know...
He'll just be talking about John Bonham or something. So it's like,
he'll just turn up to do... Hey, the greatest thing, my whole career is built on that. No matter what the topic is.
Nirvana?
There you go.
True story, Steve. I met Dave Grohl outside a Foo Fighters show at Galatos.
Punched him right in the face. And he was the nastiest, meanest guy he'd ever met.
I asked him if it was true that he'd sold his soul to the ghost of John Bonham, and he said yes. So there you go.
Wow. That's a really, really good walk-up question.
He laughed. He thought it was pretty good.
I mean, you could have gone for Got a Dory or...
get out of my way, I'm walking here.
Pick or... Do you have the time? But you went straight into
straight to the top.
The eternal damnation. I like it.
Well,
all right. On that note, thank you, Steve.
And eternal damnation.
We'll
see you guys later.
Check in with you next week. Bye. Is that the fires of hell?
Real auteurs use star wipes.
That was Flicks and That on 95BFM.